The sermon text for this morning taken from today's gospel reading. Jesus was also invited to the wedding. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So there's all sorts of things that we can glean from this text here of Jesus being invited to the wedding feast at Cana. And it's clear that John intended his, or included this account in his gospel so that we would see and understand how the disciples of Jesus viewed Jesus. Now this account of Jesus' activities at the wedding feast of Cana falls hot on the heels of Jesus calling his first disciples. So Jesus calls his first disciples, and then they're invited with him to this wedding here in this local town. Here at the wedding feast, Jesus changes water into wine, and as John records, this is the first of the signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. Now, like that manifested his glory part, because we're in the Sundays after Epiphany, and Epiphany is a making known, and that's what manifested means. He made known his glory by changing water into wine. And John goes on to write, after this account, and his disciples believed in him. So the primary purpose of the changing water into wine was so that the disciples would begin to believe in Jesus. And that's important for all of us to understand. But there's also a lot of other things in here. And today, we're going to take a look at, in briefly an overview fashion, because there's several topics buried within this account of Jesus at the wedding feast that could be entire sermons on their own. But we're going to look at two things, marriage and faith. Now, each of these both are very good things. We know that God instituted marriage at creation. Eve was given to Adam. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. The father usually gives away the bride. And as Christians, is that a reflection for us of Adam being given Eve? I don't know. You know, your mind wanders. You think about such things like that periodically in times. I don't know. Maybe that's valid. Maybe that's not valid. Maybe I'm just seeing stuff where nothing actually is. But we do know that God instituted marriage, and Adam beholds his wife, Eve, and Adam in his original state, when he beholds Eve, perceives who she is. For what does Adam say? He goes on to say, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And then Moses goes on to tell us, for this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So marriage as an institution between one man and one woman is God ordained and good, because God beheld everything that he created, and he declared it to be good. Now, there's a lot of circumstances we don't know about this wedding that Jesus was at. We do not know if the couple was a wealthy couple or a poor couple. We don't know. We don't know if Mary was a member, extended family of the couple who was being married. No idea. We don't know if she was a regular guest. We don't know if she was helping out with the wedding. We don't know if maybe the bride's mother had passed away and Mary was standing in for the bride's mother. There's a lot of things that we certainly do not know. So we're going to have to content ourselves with simply this, that Jesus himself was at the wedding. And what was Jesus' wedding gift to the couple? It seems that his gift to the couple became gallons upon gallons of excellent, very fine wine. And as we see that gift that Jesus gave, we can also see that Jesus lets us know that marriage itself is God's work and God's arrangement and God's idea. So it doesn't matter how much people in any time of the world's history look down their nose at marriage, how much they say marriage isn't needed or anything like that, or they try and twist marriage to suit their own needs and thus despise God's creation and God's ordinance, God always acknowledges His gifts to us as a good gift. And we realize that since marriage is God's idea, our old Adam and our enemy Satan rebels against what is God's idea and what is God's good gift. They oppose it and seek to either make a mockery of it or cause people in marriage to suffer exceedingly and try and find much fault in their marriages and in each other. So let's note something here. Jesus changed water into wine. He did not take away the water and bring in some wine. He changes it. Now, perhaps this is stretching the text just a little too much, but God doesn't take away our troubles in life. God doesn't take away the troubles that we find or we have in married life. When one gets married, personalities do not magically change in any way, shape, or form. And as everybody knows, it's a lot of hard work to live in the married estate. And it's true that people who are married will have troubles. And how these troubles turn around from the plainness of water to the sweetness of wine really is just a wee bit puzzling to us. To all of us, as a matter of fact. But it's one of those things that you just have to live and go through to understand how it all works. Because it's darn near unexplainable how living together with somebody for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right, binds you together as one flesh. It's very, very interesting. Now, personally, I have to admit, one of the things that I get upset with God, yes, I get upset with God, the most is that He doesn't fix marital troubles between husband and wife. Right? What I want is the magic wand. Just poof! And everything's fine. Everything's good. Right? I want to zap. I want the quick fix. But generally, that's just not how God chooses to work. And it often happens that in marriage, the joys and the sorrows, the ups and the downs of married life, one finally looks at their spouse of many, many years and understands what a blessing they have been and how much poorer their life would be without the spouse whom they have committed their lives to, and that indeed the two really have become one flesh. I don't think that would come or would happen with a quick fix. When we get a quick fix, what do we want the next time? We want a quicker fix. And after that, we want a quicker fix after that, and then a quicker fix after that. Just make things go away. Don't work hard at it. Don't work through it. Don't work it out. Just make it go away. In the struggle, we come to appreciate and love our spouses even more and even more deeply. The quick fix would eventually lead somebody to just give up and quit when times got hard. And the quick fix didn't just happen. Now here, I think we can take a lesson from Jesus' mother Mary. Now the jury is really rather out on whether or not Jesus is being harsh with her. So when we read how Jesus spoke to his mother, everybody really is taken aback somewhat. They have no wine. Woman, what does this have to do with me? Now, we can read that in several different ways and try to understand it. You can read it with snark in your voice. Woman, what does that have to do with me? You can read it, as some commentators say, it was more of a term of respect. Dear woman, what does that have to do with me? Right? Just kind of the jury's out on how Jesus responded and answered his mom. It's a bit, wee bit puzzling to each and every one of us. Some say he's being harsh. Some speaks to her, say he speaks to her in a kind way. And we're probably not going to figure this one out this side of heaven. Who even knows why his mother asked him for help. That one's a head-scratcher, and that one's kind of puzzling. Also, did Mary know something about Jesus that we don't know? Why would she go to him? Why would she ask such a thing? Was she expecting some kind of miracle? I don't know. What did she expect him to do? He had a bunch of disciples with him. Maybe they were supposed to pool their money together and run off to the local wine merchant and bring some wine back. We don't know. It's an open question. But what do we know? We know that Mary asked her son for help. They've run out of wine. Well, what do you want me to do about that? It's not time for me to do things yet, responds Jesus. The answer to Mary from her son seemingly is no. How does Mary respond to Jesus' apparent no? Does she go off in a huff? Does she give up? Mm-mm. Neither one of those things. Mary's reply was one of trust. Whatever he says, go ahead and do that. It's kind of what she said to the servants. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Here, we must think of the battle of faith as we look at what Jesus' mother does and teaches us. She gets the answer of no, and yet she does not believe that Jesus is angry at her, nor does she believe that Jesus is in some way, shape, or form being unkind to her. Mary continues to trust in her own son's kindness. She will not let her hope be taken away, and she will not disgrace Jesus in her heart. Mary instructs the servants to attend to Jesus' word in just the same way as that she has trust in his kindness. Here, husband and wife must live in marriage and trust in the words of God in the exact same way. They must approach any trial and tribulation of marriage in the same way. Indeed, we as believers must approach all the trials and tribulations in our lives in the same way. Because sometimes, just sometimes, God lets the cup of trial be filled to the brim before he changes it into wine. Now you can imagine what a hellish battle of conscience, hellish battle the conscience feels, and the battle that the conscience goes through when our conscience thinks that God is saying to us what Jesus said to Mary, what does this have to do between you and me? When we feel on the inside that God is telling us no, or that God is pushing us away, what business do I have with you? One in such a trial may give up in despair. They may give up hope unless they know and understand the nature of God's works and have been trained in faith. Each of us, too, at some points in our life may hear God's no. But we want to respond in the way Mary responded, with trust and faith in God's goodness and kindness. We do not wish to walk away from him in unbelief. Mary did not walk away from Jesus in unbelief. She trusted in Jesus' goodness. And so it must be for us in our marriages and in every other aspect of our life. We must trust in God's goodness. We should do God the honor and give him the glory of him being kind and gracious, even when we ourselves don't see it in action and we ourselves don't see it happening. Even when we perceive God to be our enemy, faith continues to trust that God is good and that God will be gracious unto us. Mary is very and abundantly certain that Jesus will be gracious, even if outward looks told her everything else was absolutely different. And it did not seem so. What she sees is different than what she actually believes. Mary is freely committed to Jesus' kindness and Jesus' goodness, and Mary does not dictate to Jesus the time or place in which he would act or the manner or measure in which he would act. She simply trusts that he will act in his own time and according to his own will and in His own way, Jesus will accomplish the things that are needed. So let us take a page from Mary's handbook. Let we as Christians do the exact same thing. Even when it appears to us, at least outwardly, that our Savior, our God, has forgotten us, we should continue to have faith in Him and trust in Him. Even when it seems that all His answers to us are no, or even worse than no, let faith, trust, and believe that that which is good, Jesus will accomplish for us in His way, in His time, and according to His purpose. And so the words of Mary, do whatever He tells you, are words that a Christian should hold in their heart and mind each and every day of their life. Do whatever He tells you. Let us all stick to God's words, Christ's words, and not look away for them, for He promises to work out all things to the good of those who love Him. And in this way, you will have a faith that does not fail. Rather, you will have a faith that trusts in God's goodness. Today in our text, wine is given. But not just wine. Good wine. The very best of wine. And it was given not sparingly, but in abundance. And by this miracle, Jesus implores each and every one of His disciples to continue to trust in Him and to believe confidently in Him and to remain trustful and faithful to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.